Sorry, I didn't bring it back to you.
Okay, so we are in the final part of the introduction. We did, the introduction has actually been fairly long, but that's because the introduction is what's giving us the reason we're on page 29. The introduction is what's giving us the reason why someone should want to follow through the rest of the book. So we spoke until now about lots of different benefits that someone gets if he has bitachon, if he relies on Hashem as his source of everything. So we were discussing more spiritual benefits, and last week we spoke about the financial responsibility that falls upon someone who has money, that they have to give much more charity, and all the mitzvahs they need to spend more on the actual mitzvah, whilst someone who doesn't have money has the advantage that he's free of all those extra chumras. And now we're going to do the material benefits of having trust. So we'll read inside page 29. Ach. So up until this point, we discussed the Torah advantages. Ach, tayalas habitachon ba'olam. The benefits of bitachon in worldly matters are as follows. The first one, the main one, stress-free. Mehen menuchas halev min ha-da'agot. To have peace of mind from the worried of the world, min ha-da'agot ha-olamiyot. V'ha-shalva min nidnut ha-nefesh v'tzar al-chesvim ta-viseho ha-gufiyot. A person will have peace of mind from the worries of the world and the tranquility from the nagging of the spirit and its pain, which is due to the person's lack of obtaining his physical desires. A person who has bitachon is at rest, he feels secure and is at peace in this world, as it is written, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and the Lord shall be his trust. And the following verse says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water, and by a rivulet spread its roots. These verses are cited as proof that a person who has bitachon is at peace, and is neither afraid nor worried, even when bad, in inverted commas, comes on them, because he knows that he is being taken care of. So this idea of being stress-free, so really, what is stress? When someone feels stress, yeah? Stress kills people. Stress can cause someone's heart to blow over. So what is stress? So we know that we have two parts to our body. There's the mind and there's the heart. Mind is the intellect, is the mathematics, is the working out. And the heart is the emotions. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm calm. So when there's too much coming from the intellect going into the heart, there's a blockage. The heart cannot function with this amount of information coming in. So when someone is trying to be in control of a situation, yeah? So where is he trying to be in control? From his heart. Like intellectually, I could do this, I could call this person, I could do that. And he builds a whole lot of things that intellectually he needs to take care of. So now it's gone from his intellect into his heart, and his heart tells him that what the intellect is sorted is going to be good enough. That the intellect has, you know, that the intellect has your back, and he's gonna make. And then the first phone call is gonna go, and the first phone call doesn't go well. So then the heart's saying, hey, intellect, like, I'm relying on you and you're letting me down. And it can cause someone to get so stressed that his blood pressure, his heart doesn't know what to do. His heart's like, should I be calm or should I be doing? Should I do this or should I do that? Like, his heart doesn't know what to do, and his heart just starts beating. And sadly, lots and lots of people, you know, like every single day around the world, die of heart attacks. Most of the heart attacks that they die from are caused from stress. So stress is about a miscommunication taking place. Stress is about a miscommunication that's taking place between the intellect and the heart. Now, so what's different when someone has bitachon? When someone has bitachon, there's only one message that the intellect needs to feed to the heart. God's in control. The situation might be different. So the heart have to, it might take longer for the heart to feel it in that situation, but ultimately, whatever happens, there's the same answer. Hashem is in control. I'm not in control. When I'm in control, then if I'm in control, I can either solve it by calling this person, or I can solve it by doing this, or I can solve it by going there, or by jumping up and down. Like, there's all different ways of solving it. But when Hashem is in control, then it's not for me to solve. So if I just tell myself over and over and over again, it's not for me to solve, then my heart feels calm. My heart feels, like we're saying, stress-free. Why? And then the Daku says here, there's menuchat ha-nefesh. It called it here, like earlier on it called it menuchat ha-nefesh. Here it calls it menuchat ha Lev, because stress is usually something that's in the heart. The heart either too much or too little. And by understanding more about how the world works, by understanding that when you are in a situation, besides for the fact that you're not the one that needs to solve the situation by yourself, that Hashem is going to help you, but also how you got into that situation is also not your fault. people often, when they're in a situation, they think, oh yeah, it's my fault, I should have done that. Now, the whole cause and effect that we have in the world is only there as a mask. It's only there in our minds. The cause and effect is not actually happening. If you go speak to a loaf of bread and say, why are you here? The loaf of bread is not, okay, I mean, as in if the loaf of bread would be able to speak, the loaf of bread is not going to tell you all the cause and effect that went into it. It'll just say, well, because someone effed me. It's not going to go in and start saying, oh, because one person went to the shop to buy flour, and he went to buy water, and he mixed them all, and it made me, because that's not the whole story. Because if he's going to give that amount of detail, then you've got to go back to the farmer, you've got to go all the way back.
How the flour was made.
Huh? How the flour was made and everything. There's so much cause and effect that we could choose, that we get to choose kind of what we want to focus on and what we...
Where you want to start, where the story begins.
Exactly. So ultimately, one of the main benefits of having trust is to live stress-free. Things can change. We said in the first year, we used the model of a thermometer, that you have a thermometer and you have a thermostat. We said that what does a thermometer do? A thermometer goes into any situation. If it's hot, it says, I am hot. If it's cold, it says, I am cold. It's not changing base. It's not holding its game. If it walks into an environment that's a heated environment, it gets heated. And if it walks into a cold environment, so most people, without bitachon, you're like a thermometer. You walk into a situation where someone is antsy, and boom, it makes you antsy. You walk into a situation where everyone's calm, and you're calm. You react to the effect on the surrounding. So if someone would be really rude to you out in public, you'd respond back in that sort of way. Well, if you're a thermostat, what does a thermostat do? A thermostat, it decides what the temperature of the room is going to be. It doesn't follow the temperature of the room. It doesn't say, oh, you're hot, okay, I'm going to be hot now, you're okay. The thermostat says, I want this room to be now, whatever, 17. So now it's going to stay, the room is going to stay at 17. So bitachon means I am going to be calm. You are already going into it prior to any situation. I'm going to deal with the situation calmly. And that is a automatic thing, because nothing does worry you, because when you realize that every single part of every single story stems from Hashem, and Hashem is in it and doing it right now, it makes it easier to cope with the situation. Let's read on. There's another benefit.
It's a great mashal.
Well, the thermostat. Yeah. Thank you.
It's very good at mashal.
To be honest, I think that particular one. I think that particular one came from ChatGPT. I think so.
You don't know what the cause was.
Huh? Yeah. No, but I do, I do play a lot with thermometers. So as it got into my history, I'm always doing timings on meats and everything. Anyway, maybe. Immunity from the fatigue of traveling. And another advantage of bitachon, as it affects a person in his material pursuits, umehen menuchas hanefesh mileches bedrochem harachokim hashehi mechal agufes maheres hashlamas yimei hachayim. Among the worldly benefits is that a person can have peace of mind when it comes to traveling long distances, because such travel can destroy people's bodies and hasten death due to the excessive motion and change of climate involved. Kamoi shenema. I remember when we learned this together many months ago. So basically, this is the idea that, and again, we have to understand how it applies nowadays, because obviously traveling nowadays is not what it used to be. It used to be a much more dangerous task. Firstly, you genuinely didn't even know when you used to leave. You didn't know if you were going to get there.
Just as well.
What?
Traveling did mean you meant...
Sure. So we don't know, as in those days when you're leaving on a trip, from all around Europe, they used to head to the Leipzig fair. Yeah, there was a big fair in Leipzig, and they used to travel to it. There was loads of mashalim. The Dublin Maggid gave hundreds of mashalim about the Leipzig fair. What was the Leipzig fair? It was that people used to go there and whatever, and they would go there for 3 or 4 months. They would go there for like 3 or 4 months to the fair, and they would hope from the fair to be able to bring enough money home for them to be able to. For them to be able to survive for the rest of the year. And there was always lots and lots and lots of traveling involved. So one of the things that the Shah Bitachon, which he is very into, that anything that you don't absolutely need, it's your choice to bring on yourself. Meaning, if there's two people that are living in the same neighborhood, and one of them manages to set up a business here, and the other one had to go to China to Hong Kong to set up his business, and he has to go backwards and forwards, it's fine, but it's unnecessary. Why? Because the fact that the person that one person can make it work here. So why can't you make it work here? He said, oh, because I needed the factory. Okay, so you told yourself that your way of making money is going to be from a factory in this particular thing. And you're right. If once you have narrowed it down to the factory of this particular thing, then China might be the best place. But maybe there is, something else that you could do locally. So this is something that the Shabbos often speaks about quite a bit in different ways. It firstly comes up in whether you should travel for like another doctor somewhere. If you were one way of looking at life is that if Hashem put you to live here in Renana, and you went to your doctor in Kfar Saba, and the doctor says, okay, this person needs to have this and this surgery, but you know that in Los Angeles is a much, much better surgeon. Should you go there? Should you go to the best surgeon in the field? So there's no, with all these questions, because we don't have prophecy, there's no wrong and no right. But there is two different ways of looking at it. One way is that the ishtadlus is to go to the best doctor. The other way is no. To go to the best doctor is going to cost me a whole week of time. And in that week of time, there's a lot of other things I could do. I could give more to my community, another week in Israel. So therefore, a different way of looking at it is that even though there's a better doctor there, but this is a better situation. It is better for me to stay with my doctor here in Kfar Saba rather than having to fly. Neither are more right or wrong, but the one who is staying here, the one who's not traveling, has it much easier. The one who's traveling, he's gonna have to get all his packing, all his taxis, all his flights, his everything. And according to this as well, when traveling used to be a bit more dangerous, then that was also part of it. But ultimately, he's talking about anything that you're going somewhere else for, a Baal B'Tochen doesn't need to. A Baal B'Tochen can just stay exactly where he is. If Hashem put you here, Hashem can do. Hashem is creating the whole world as we speak right now. So, Ma'achbat lo lasot et zekacha or kacha. So if I think that I have to go down there to go get something, now one of the places that we see this is by the Mon. So we are told that the Sadiqim and the Rishayim, they used to go out of the house every day, and the Sadiq had his Mon outside his front door, and the Rasha had his all the way out. So a couple of very interesting things. Firstly, I didn't realize that the Medrash says that this was, that every morning it was the walk of shame. Okay. Meaning that every single morning, your situation was different. If you're a good boy last night, then okay, it's gonna be outside. If you for a minute thought, oh Moshe, oh he's so intense, and then you're walking all the way out into the field today. Yeah? So it was like a walk of shame every single day when they came out of the house and had to work out where how far out. And it says that there was people that didn't go to collect it. They were so embarrassed to go out. But this is also one of the things that a Sadiq, when you're Baba talking, you realize that the whatever you need comes to you. So one of the ideas that I heard, and I think this was actually the stage where in the B'Tochen Shurim that I was listening to that I heard this idea, I heard it many years ago. He said that the Sadiq on the Rosha, he said that the Mon didn't go to different places for me and for you and for him. It didn't change for the Sadiq on the Rosha. What was it? The Mon had a magical power to it, that wherever a person looks down, that's where his food is going to be. The Mon was, wherever you looked, it was there. The Sadiq, he came out of his house, he thought to himself, okay, Hashem is sending heavenly bread, surely it's going to be right over here. He looked down, it was there. The Rosha looked out, and he said, Hashem's sending it. But the Rosha knew that he wasn't a good boy. He knew that thing. So he's like, Hashem's not going to send it to me right over here. And he convinced himself that Hashem's going to send it to the middle of the field. He walked out to the middle of the field. When he looked down, that's when the Mon was, because all the Mon was, Mon who? It was only when they actually looked down. Anyway, okay, so
when you think about the big word, is when you dream it, it is whatever reality you prepare to accept on yourself, that's the reality you're going to live.
Yeah, so, beautiful. As in, we are creating. So this really goes into a lot of like the whole idea of Chassidus, yeah? The whole Tanya, the whole Rebbe Nachman, every single lesson, every single line, every single page of Chassidus, of Baal Shem Tov, is all about to help people realize that actually life is to be lived internally, not external. What you see around, you could be fooled by it. It's very easy. The greatest mask that Hashem made of himself is called nature, where he created loads and loads and loads of systems, not because things happen through the system, but because the system hides that there's a creator to it. So we have the water system, where the water goes from the clouds into the, wherever. It rains down, and then it goes from the rain back into the river, back to the sea, back up and everything. What is that? Is that how the water's moving? Can water move by itself? Does water even exist by itself? No, water only exists with Hashem, and Hashem is doing everything. Nature is a mask. Nature is a mask that Hashem put around everything. And any time that Hashem has done something that nature doesn't have a code to hide. That's what we call a nest. That's what we call a, like, that's what we call a miracle. But the real word of nest is a banner. It just means holding up a flag high. Yeah. So Hashem is inside of every bit of water. Just as like an example of how this plays out, Hashem is inside of every body of water. Hashem is doing the water. There's no such thing as gravity holding water down. Hashem is placing the water exactly where it is. Hashem fills all the space of everything. These are concepts we don't fully understand, but we are encouraged to talk about them, because that's the only way to understand the relationship that we have with infinity is by trying our best to understand. So there's this mask called nature, which is that Hashem is doing everything. Hashem is inside of everything. Hashem is filling the space. Even we say that Hashem made the whole world, yeshmi ayin, yeah? What is ayin? What was ayin? When the world was ayin, when the world was what we call nothingness, what was it? What was it filled with? It was filled with Hashem. The Tzemach Tzedek says that ani Hashem elokeichem, that ani is the same letter as ayin. The ayin is Hashem, yeah? Ayin, aleph yud nun, or aleph nun yud. Meaning that the world was filled with Hashem, and then Hashem made yesh, made ayin. Meaning that Hashem allowed some of the space that he was filling, he allowed it to look like something else, yeah? And that was the creation of the world. And then what Hashem had to do was Hashem had to hide himself from the world, because as we know, if he would have been straight in this world, it would have been too bright. Like if we were inside of the sun, if we all were transported out inside of the sun, we would cease to be. There is just no way of living. So Hashem created this thing called nature, which is what? Nature is basically coding. This coding says, make this look like this, make this look like this, make this look like this. Make it look like everything's happening in cycle. And it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations called nature, which all nature is it's a costume. It's a costume that Hashem wears over. Instead of seeing that this water came from Hashem, it looks like this water came because it rained and it went to a reservoir and et cetera, et cetera. But there are times that Hashem does something different. And when Hashem wrote the coding for nature, Hashem didn't tell nature how to blend this sort of thing in. So by Kriyas Yam Suf, let's say, is it any more of a miracle that the water was standing and that the water is usually pulled downwards? No. It's no more of a miracle, because Hashem is doing both of them right here, right now. So why was this called a miracle? What was the big miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf, that the water split? The miracle was that nature didn't have a way of hiding this circumstance behind the mask. Nature was built to be a mask, and suddenly something came, and Hashem went and did something, and nature was like, hey, just say, wait, you know, like, how am I meant to cover this? Oh, I don't have a mask to cover it. Therefore, it was like a big banner. It was a nest. It was like a big banner holding up and saying, look, really, it's Hashem who always was in control of nature. Hashem is always doing everything. Not that he's behind nature. He is nature. He even created all the codes. Now, just to add one last piece before we go in, that there's this concept of the Sefirot, of how Hashem took himself and had to break himself down, so to speak, and hide himself, simsum, to constrain himself, to constrict, in order to be able to fit into this world. Yeah. So the highest of the ten Sefirot, either the highest or the second highest, depending on if Hashem is on the chart or not, is Chochmah. Yeah. Which is what? Which is that Chochmah is the closest thing to Hashem, but also can hide Hashem somewhat. The Chochmah of nature. The Chochmah of nature is the biggest Chochmah in the world. Yeah? There is no Chochmah. There is no Chochmah in the world. There is nothing that runs in the world, in the physical world as we know it, that is bigger than nature. Nature is the amount of coding. Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to work on the website, on the shul website. One little word that you want there is like 40 lines of coding. Yeah, and whatever. I mean, it's amazing that ChatGPT does it all. But the amount of coding that had to go into nature, if water does this, make it go there, make it go there. Everything. You know, when these guys try to make games, yeah. So, you know, like Apple always, when they bring out a new phone, or when they bring out a new game, what do? They pay people to find bugs, because it's impossible to think of all the coding that you're going to need, even in a simple game. Think about the amount of coding that goes into every Apple. There's the coding in each person's DNA has in it the ability to create 8 billion people, because we've all come from one. So that is the Chochmah at the top of the Sefirah. The Chochmah has the hardest job, because the Chochmah has to teach all the other Sefirot how they're going to hide God behind. So the Chochmah is where it's all built up, and then Malchus is when it actually comes into reality. So we have just that interesting, I have no idea how we got onto that, the immunity of traveling, but we've just traveled around the world. Okay, let's read a bit inside so that we can, because I would like to start Peret Rishon next week. So he brings a story here. I'll just read it very quickly inside, and we'll go through outside. V'nema lechol min aprushim ki holach el eretz rechoyka lebakish atarif betchilas perishusai u'paga adam echol me'ovdei kachavim be'er asher holach Eilal. Basically, this guy went to India. He went on a trip to India on an exploration trip to meet some monks. What is a monk? A monk is someone who holds back from the physical world. They do.
Who's the guy to start off? He calls him an aesthetic. What does that mean?
That is the one that is going to be Purush. Purush means someone that wants to like hold back from physical. Like all these in China they're into it. You know, these guys that run on the colds. It's like the whole concept of mind over body. So it's being practiced by ascetics. I mean the Hebrew word is prushim, which is what we call monks. And for other people, they live like by themselves. They cut off from the wall. They don't have any. They have lots and lots of tivas, but no way of carrying them out. So this Jewish guy wants to learn how to be a monk. So he goes to the Avodah Zarah in India and he meets the guy there, Omalei Porush, and he says to this idol worshiper, "Kama atem betachis ha'ivarin nomiyut havana ba'avodaschem la'kechavim." How much are you in a state of ultimate blindness and lack of understanding in your service of the stars? Meaning like, you know, like how much do you understand? Like, tell me what you understand about the stars. So the idol worshippers turned around to him and said, who do you serve? Like, who's your Avodah Zarah? This is like the sort of conversation. Like which football team are you on? I serve the Creator. I serve Hashem, who is able to do anything, who sustains, who is one, who provides food, and there is no one like him. Yeah. Okay, so the guy goes, hoping to get some inspiration, and the guy says, "So who do you serve?" So he says, "Look, you know, I'm a Chabad Dingala. I just want to understand a bit more." Omaloi ha'amgoishi. So the idol worshiper turns around to this person and says to him, "Your actions contradict your words." So this guy says, "Hey, how? Like, what do you mean? You know, I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to discover." If what you're saying is true, that you serve Hashem, who is able to do everything, that he is one, and he provides food, and there's no one like him. If you believe it, if it was really true, if it's really true, you wouldn't have slept all the way out here to try and find your answers, to try and connect to him. He could have given it to you. If you believe that he's a kol yachol means that he defies all abilities, including geographical abilities, timing abilities, anything. So if you believe that, then you wouldn't have come all the way out here to try and find answers. With this, his argument was shut down, and consequently, he returned to his land, accepted upon himself to be Pirush from that time on, and he never left the city again. So that was the second way. So the second way is that you get saved from traveling, and now harm-free employment. So this is also something that there's a whole chapter dedicated to it later on. And it's one of the most fun topics because when you first hear it, and even now I've heard it, I don't know, 30, 40 times, there's a certain element of it that just sounds like this can't be true. It just sounds too foreign, it doesn't make sense. But then also, Torah is MS. And when you hear MS, you feel it inside, but maybe it is. And I think most people that have approached this have started with it can't be true. And over time, you think maybe it isn't. The more you think about it, the more MS it feels. So what is this? It's an employment that is harmful. Which is a peace of mind and body that comes from not needing to perform difficult work, nor engage in occupations that tire the body. He will also be at peace due to the ability to abandon the services of the king and the laws. So this doesn't mean to go against the king, it means to not have to go work for the king and the laws, and to avoid the corruption of their servant. A person who trusts in Hashem chooses those means of sustenance for him that entail greater rest for his body, give him a good name, and leave his heart free from worry. He also chooses these occupations that are more helpful for his Torah learning. All this is due to his strong belief that the Sibba Because when you realize that everything's coming from Hashem, nothing can get in the way. If nothing can get in the way, then it suddenly opens up the choices of how we spend our time. We discussed the various attributes of the alchemist, yeah? Of the person who can turn anything into anything. He might get ill, he might get anything. He needs to have all his tools. And we went through, there was a list, there was, on page 25, there was a list. He needs his materials, he's worried about being harmed, he's scared to give advice, he never knows how well to stop. There's all these different things. This is all one aspect of work. There's people that spend every single day of their lives coming home from work, complaining about everyone in the office. So let's just zoom in and let's try to break down any one conversation and try to understand what is going on. This person went to the office and he comes home. Oh, this person said this and this person was horrible and this person was thinking. Okay, fine. So don't go to work tomorrow. No, I have to. Why? Why? Why does the person have to go to work tomorrow? Because I've got responsibilities. What responsibilities do you have? You got a family, you need to support your family. Okay, beautiful. So go to work. But why are you going to that work? Because when you think about it, if you're going to a place that you're not happy in, the only reason why someone would continue going to a situation that he's not happy in is because he believes that this situation is what's giving me my money. That my money is coming from this situation. Now I'm on a set salary. I'm on a set salary of X amount a month, and that's only because I'm in this job. So yes, it's true that he was horrible to me and he said something not nice to me and this went wrong and this was dangerous and this, everything went wrong today. I'm still going to go back there tomorrow. Why am I going to go back there tomorrow? Because I'm not going. I'm not going because I want to go. I'm going because I need to go. Why do I need to go? I need to go because that is my source of money. And that is the mindset of the alchemist. The mindset of the alchemist is that the work that he's doing is the cause for his financial situation to be the way that it is. So practically what he's saying here, and whatever the situation is, any situation, even such a situation, someone who wants to, you know, they don't want to fly so much. They want to be around, their wife makes a comment, they want to be around more, and they don't want to fly so much. How can someone do it? I've got to change job. And all the fear of changing job is a fear that we take on as a given, that what was yesterday and what is today, it's a given that it's tomorrow as well. So I had my salary yesterday. As far as I know, I've got my salary tomorrow morning. It's better for me to have the menuchat ha-nefesh, that I've got the salary, but to hate every single moment of the day. He's horrible, and this person did, and this happened, all these different things. I'm choosing to go into it. Why? To have the peace of mind that the salary is sorted. But now what happens if the boss would call you in and say, from next month, we're cutting back. We're not paying you anymore. We're going to have to take whatever. We're going to have to stop you. Then suddenly, moving becomes an option again. Why? But you were so set. Everything was great for you. This is where all your money comes from. How are you going to manage? How are you going to be able to survive? If all your money comes from here, how are you going to survive? Elamai, you eventually will get forced out of that mindset, because nothing in this world is for certain, other than the fact that we can die at any moment. That's the only thing that is guaranteed. It's guaranteed that a person can have a last breath at any moment. That's the only thing that is guaranteed. Nothing else is guaranteed. So, yeah, anyway, so there is still going to be more on this data, because now he's not explaining how to get to this mindset. Now we're still in the introduction where he's just explaining that one of the advantages of bitachon is that your job, where you spend all day, can be hassle-free. Why? Because if you're in the wrong place, you can choose the right thing. And he explains in detail later on exactly how one would go about choosing. Okay, and another thing that he says is, he says, and therefore you could also choose an occupation that's good for your Torah learning. Meaning that when you realize that everything comes from Hashem, yeah? So that's going to be the first thing that we know. We have the emunah, but to break it into our conscious, to get it into our feelings, get it into our emotions, that we still need to start Perek Rishon to be able to do that properly, because that's going to teach us how. But what he's saying is, that once we know and we feel and we realize that everything comes from Hashem. Okay. Everything comes from Hashem. There's not a single moment in the world that Hashem is not 100% involved in. It's easy. It's very the whole test of life. The whole test of life is Hashem constantly puts us into a machine to see how far you're going to stretch it this time. Yeah, with Avraham Avinu. Yeah, the first time, go to a foreign land. Okay, it's easier. Okay, now your wife gets kidnapped. Okay, do I still believe that Hashem is right here, right now? That was the test. Do I still believe Hashem is right here, right now? When Avraham Avinu is standing with a knife in his hand and his son lying on a altar, it's, do I still believe that Hashem is right here, right now? That's the whole, our whole life is every single moment, every test, every time someone says a harsh comment to you, yeah? You're walking down the road and someone throws something nasty at you, yeah? In that moment, that's a test. Someone says something not nice, you're now being tested. How are you going to feel about the situation? Are you going to feel, okay, Hashem, I don't know why that happened, but I'm not going to answer back, and please help me in this and this thing, or Hashem, please, Hashem, for whatever other bad thing going to happen, please let this whatever, just have some sort of conversation. Oh, are you going to go, bro, who do you think you are saying that to me? Every single moment. So, once we know that Hashem is anyway doing everything, now we also know that Hashem said the Bishlan Torah. So he says, there's so many people, and this is something which I think was one of the nicest things about making Aliyah to here, is that I think here in Ranana is a place that I've really, really, really seen people that I just never would have expected or never would have assumed learning and working here is really something that you see, especially here in Ranana, really go hand in hand beautifully. It's not like that everywhere, but one of the things that he's explaining here is that before you're going into a job, you need to first know what the rights and wrongs are, what the things are that you need, and then from there you can go find a job. But to find a job, let's say, that's going to mean that you can't ever learn because you're always traveling and you're always here and you can't be around or you can't go to tefillot or anything else. So he says here, he also chooses those occupations that are more helpful for his Torah observance. All this is due to his strong belief that the means of sustenance will not add to his amount of sustenance, nor will it cause him to lack anything. His amount of sustenance will only be increased or decreased by the decree of Hashem. As it says, for it is not from the east or from the west, nor from the desert that elevation comes. Rather, Hashem judges. He humbles this one and elevates that one. Likewise, it says, "Binos deshi abitzeni," that he makes me lie down in his green pastures. Alme menuchos yenahaleni. Okay. And now the final couple of points in the introduction. The next one is no distress. Among the material benefits is that a person who has bitachon will have less anguish in business. If, for example, he cannot sell his merchandise, or if he is not able to collect a debt that is owed to him, or if he becomes physically ill. Okay, Bezeda. Why? Because he knows that Hashem only chooses good for you, and therefore the person is able to tap into the fact that this is good, and he will be able to be calm. So again, we're talking about someone who believes that Hashem is running everything. Therefore, he walks into his store one day and nothing sells that day. Bezeda. Hashem is running everything. It genuinely doesn't bother him. Hashem is running everything. One of the footnotes, I don't know where it was that I saw it. I read it in a footnote somewhere between the beginning of the book and here, that he said that, he said as like an example, he said, sometimes you have jobs that you have to do inside work, but you never know when you're going to have time to do them. You're never going to have time to do them. There's jobs that are really important and you're going to let them build up for 5 years and they're never going to get done. So what does Hashem do? Hashem says one day, you know what, today, I'm going to send you one customer. At the end of the day, he's going to sort out. Or today, you're not going to get anything. Tazov. Sit down. There's going to be no customers coming in through the shop today. 5 hours, 6 hours, no customers. Now is when you can go and deal. You can go deal with everything else. Now, if I'm in that situation where I've had no customers, yeah, so I am there in the shop and there's no customers coming in. He's saying that there's different ways of looking at it. You could look at it with bitachon glasses. If you look at it with bitachon glasses, and your glasses say, Hashem is everywhere here. Then when you're looking around and there's no customers, you already know that it's for a good reason. When you know that it's from Hashem, You already know that it's a good reason. Now it's just about working out what good reason can I find out of it? And the first thing that comes into your head, you are right. Meaning that our subconscious already has everything stacked up, ready to go for us. When we get into that situation where we're in the shop and there's been no customers, if we choose to say, okay, Hashem, what do you want from me? And then suddenly it thinks, there's this friend that I was meant to call for ages and I haven't called him. Then that's exactly what Hashem wants for me right now. How do I know? Because no customers have come in. And my subconscious and Hashem wants us to be able to plan these things internally. Yes.
So there's like a...
Sorry, my brain, I didn't take my Ritalin today. My brain is... Yeah, go on.
It's good.
So I'm with you for the most part, but there's an inclination that people have sometimes. If you almost say everything is Hashem, which it is, but you almost have to hold at the same time, but it's also my responsibility. In other words, in the example of the shop that you have, okay, so I'm sitting in the shop, no customers come. Now, I'm not sure the first thing that should come into my head is, I should have called my mother this morning. Maybe it's, what was my marketing strategy, which I didn't bother really focusing. Beautiful. I'm not saying, like, maybe Hashem wants me to think about that, but
beautiful.
You have to be careful not to put the responsibility of your success or failure just on Hashem. You kind of got to hold both things together at the same time.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, again, in this whole subject, I think one of my favorite things about learning this is that everyone's right. Why? Because I'm put 8 billion people into the world. Yeah? There's no single person that can say that they are the ones that have nailed it. Everything is right. Because really, the whole idea of bitachon, the whole idea of hishtadlu is about what? It's about a relationship between us and Hashem. Right. Meaning that the whole world is about the relationship that each person has with Hashem. Hashem put you into a particular family, because in this family, it means that you will have a relationship with me that's unique to you. You have your own fingerprint and your own relationship with Hashem. Yeah? So, now, one of the things that we've discussed is that bitachon and hishtadlut don't fill the same space. Sorry, they fill the same space, but they don't share. It's either one or the other. You can fill up a cup either with hishtadlut or with bitachon or with 50-50 or 75. You need both of them. The cup always has to be full. And you genuinely get to choose where you fill it up from. So in that situation, you're right. You're right that you could jump into the situation and say, I need more hishtadlut. Completely normal. And I think 99% of people do that. And they're right to do that. And even the people that are doing hishtadlut, you jump straight to marketing strategies. Yeah? Maybe there's a particular product that I've just run out of and I haven't called the supplier to rethink. So you're right. Firstly, in the hishtadlut, there's going to be so many levels of how much hishtadlut, with the epitome being that you could, in that moment, you could just sit back and say, okay, Hashem runs everything. And therefore, obviously you can only do that if you understand, firstly, what your hishtadlut needs to be, which is why we need to understand the subject of hishtadlut better, which we're going to learn in more depth. That's what Peyot Rishon starts with. We need to understand, but when you're in a situation, when in a situation and the result is not happening, there's something missing. There's something missing from the cup, because the result is when the cup is full. So if the result is not happening, then there's something missing. Now, either you could fill that space right now with more bitachon to say, Hashem, I know you've got this. But it has to be genuine, because if it's not genuine, the cup is still up, still has a part that is empty. Or you fill it up with hishtadlut. Even the amount of hishtadlut that you fill it up with, even a baal bitachon otzum, someone who's really works himself every single day, and this is someone who understands that he needs to do X amount of hishtadlut, he's still going to be in the thingy, rather than jumping straight into hishtadlut, I need to go call my marketing manager and make sure that, we need to go do another whole round of everything. He will try to understand inside of it, okay, so I did this, that was a good step. I did this, that was a good step. This, okay, like maybe this needs a bit more work. Meaning, even to try to work out how much more hishtadlut do you need to do, and then the rest leave to the bitachon. So to answer your question, you are right that in that situation, doing hishtadlut is a great way of solving the situation, but it's not the only way. And the amount of hishtadlut is not predetermined. That is your choice. That is your choice to choose. And
it happens to people, you do something and you're certain that you did the whole process. You planned it, you looked at it thoroughly, you coordinate, you do this, you do that.
you made a call, I don't know, whatever. Okay, you chose the right people. But at the end, you know, the bottom line, okay, mission failed. Okay? And you say to yourself, what? I did everything. You know? How could it be? You know? So maybe, you know, like, coming back to what you're saying.
I think there's another possibility. And the other possibility is there's something different planned for you that you are having Ishtat Lut and the Emunah, everything mixed together, but Hashem wants you to look there and not there. And it will happen. Just you have to wait for it.
Correct.
Or to learn something from
that's why, and that's why there is no right answer to any of these questions.
Exactly.
Yeah? Meaning that when you're in that situation, and even it depends what the situation is, yeah? If you were in a car showroom and you don't sell any cars today, it's really not the end of the world. Yeah, like a car showroom doesn't expect. But if you're a bakery and you baked a whole load of fresh baguettes and not a single one has sold, yeah. So now in that situation, the guy now has to fill up his cup because the guy is about to get very worked up. How does he stay calm? He could stay calm in that situation by doing more Ishtat Lut, by going and hanging up a sign. Or going and sending out a whole other WhatsApp messages. But at what stage will he feel calm? Only once people have come in? If the Ishtat Lut that you're doing, if it's a form, and this also goes back, I think, to your question, that even in the Ishtat Lut, and this is how the Ishtat Lut needs to be inside of the Bitachon. If you do the Ishtat Lut, yeah? Let's say I've got all these baguettes I need to sell, and they're not selling. Okay, so I've got the choice. Either I can say, okay, this is the plan of Hashem, and just leave it, and just really try to work on internalizing and feeling that this is Hashem's plan, or I could say, okay, I've not done enough Ishtat Lut, I need to do more Ishtat Lut. Okay, what Ishtat Lut am I going to do? Let's say I'm going to go and, I don't know, send a WhatsApp message out to 150 people. Now that I've done the Ishtat Lut, how am I feeling? Do I feel that I need more? Am I sitting here, antsy, waiting for the Ishtat Lut to play itself out, or maybe at this stage, I could say, now, I filled the amount of Ishtat Lut that I think is right for this cup. Hashem, the rest is in your hands. Meaning that at some stage,
you have to do the job.
Because if it's been decided that no customers are coming in, then as much Ishtat Lut as you're going to do, it's not going to help. So you need to be aware that the Ishtat Lut that you're doing, if I have a conversation prior to the Ishtat Lut, okay, you're going to do that, but what if I could tell you 5 minutes in advance that this Ishtat Lut doesn't make a difference to this situation right now? Would you still want to do the Ishtat Lut? If you say yes, because it's still the Ishtat Lut that I feel I need to do, then great. Do it, and then as soon as you've done it, then you switch into the bitachon mode and you fill up the rest of the cup with your bitachon. But if you're doing the Ishtat Lut, and then you're still not sure I did enough Ishtat Lut. Why are you not sure if you did enough Ishtat Lut? Because the result hasn't happened. So now you're battling it once again between fill it with bitachon or with Ishtat Lut? Meaning, do I believe that what I did is enough for Hashem to say, okay, that's enough from you? I need to be able to believe that in order for that to be enough Ishtat Lut. If I don't believe it, if I now think to myself, okay, I need to do something else, it means that I didn't believe that the first Ishtat Lut was enough of Ishtat Lut because there's a problem with my bitachon filling the space. And I'm looking at this cup. This cup is empty. And I'm looking at it and I can't fill it up with more bitachon. It's just not working. It seems to be blocked. Therefore, I have to fill it up with Ishtat Lut. But ultimately, even with the Ishtat Lut, when you're waiting for something to change, you need to realize that the Ishtat Lut is not going, the result doesn't come. If you remember that picture we had of the net and the guy that was fishing, where the fish is jumping into his basket, but he's busy fishing outwards. If you believe that the Ishtat Lut in and of itself is the direct cause of the outcome, then you're an idiot. Then you're just simply, meaning when you think about it, you realize that it's never the actual outcome. Because like you said, you can get everything sorted. One tiny, tiny thing goes wrong. Everything disappeared. We were learning this morning about if someone needs to, and it was actually a very, very good mashal for Ishtat Lut. He said that if someone needs to draw water from a well, yeah? So what are the essential things that you need? I would say two essential things that you need, a rope and a bucket. If you have a rope and a bucket, you can draw water from the well. So I brought an example of someone who had a rope and he created a whole pulley system and he tied the rope to the tail of an animal. And then had to use food to make the animal walk forward. For the result of drawing water. You could do loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of Ishtat Lut, but ultimately when you break it down, when you break it all the way down to the bottom, Ishtat Lut is something that Hashem has demanded from us. Our input into something. Nothing can happen unless we put input. input can be in various forms and sizes, and it can be done in different ways, but nothing happens without input. The question is, how much input? That Hashem didn't leave any instructions for. That is between every single person and Hashem. And the way of working it out is by realizing that the cup is either hishtadlut or bitachon. Now, sometimes I could do something very, very small. Let's say someone owes me money, yeah? So I send them a message, yeah? I send them a message, say, hey, by the way, just a reminder, blah, blah. Once I've sent the message, if I go every 5 minutes and I check if it has two blue tips, check, have they seen it? I check, have they responded? I check this, and check that, check that. That's not bitachon. That's an extra amount of hishtadlut. It is normal to say that sending out an email when, you know, someone missed a meeting and send them one email, okay, you need to work out for each situation, what is the hishtadlut that's needed from me? Okay, so I need to have a meeting later. Fine, so I need to send out one email. Sending out 50 follow-up emails could be your hishtadlut. If your bitachon cup is empty, then you've got to fill up with more hishtadlut. So then every 5 minutes, send another email to let everyone know, by the way, tomorrow there's this big meeting. Or there's the one email, and whoever turned up. Both of them is a right way of looking at it, because the difference is not in the hishtadlut. The difference is the relationship that you have with you and Hashem. That relationship means the more I trust in Hashem, the less hishtadlut I need to do, because the more capable I realize that He is, that He can take this one email and make sure all 100 people that need to be at the meeting, from that one email, Hashem can make sure that everyone turns up. And if He doesn't, it's because He doesn't want it. That's one way of looking at it. Or my relationship is, but Hashem might not gather there, maybe I'm not being good enough, and therefore I need to do more shows, I need to send out extra reminders every 5 minutes. So,
or he doesn't think, or he thinks it's a waste of time, you don't need more money, you think you should go in there and not bother sending
it. Also, I'm not currently working at the moment, but I am, as in, but that's not.
Is it worth saying that hishtadlut is not just work, it's also.
Hishtadlut is, again, it's got to do with your relationship with Hashem. Everything, when we were born, we were given 120 years to try and perfect our relationship. Unfortunately, we don't even realize what we're meant to be doing. Most people don't realize what we're meant to be doing at all. It's way too late. We never have anyone sitting down and saying, by the way, darling, like, welcome to the world. Here's a checklist of things. You know, this is what you need to get through. This is what you need to do. No one does it. We're going through life and we're busy trying to battle through things. So I'll be honest, you know, this whole paragraph here about not doing things that get in the way. So I was working, and then I had a shop, but then the shop closed. And then for 6 months I was out of work, and I started learning. And then, pitam, on the day my daughter was born, I had my first catering job, and I started doing catering. Problem was that the catering, I really felt that Friday, which was always my best learning day, I could not concentrate on anything. I wasn't getting anything done. I was getting much more worked up, and it was a test for me. Problem is, I couldn't stop it whilst it was a test. I had to try and work through why I was feeling. But I did really, I was battling for 4 months whether I'm letting it take away from my learning, or whether it is taking away from my learning. And then Hashem sent me the Iran wall. And the Iran wall, there was no catering. And my learning, I had all my kids home, and my learning Friday and Shabbos was way better than I'd been in ages. That made me realize that for me personally, it wasn't right for me to carry on. The problem is that I wasn't at a level that I could just stop my source of income. I just wasn't there. And therefore, it took me a very, very, very long time. I had like a week that I wasn't doing anything, and now I'm working on the next project, and I'm in a rush. Whenever the project comes to be, it will come to be. I know that the hishtadlut that is needed from me now, I feel that the hishtadlut that is needed from me now is this thing that I'm working on, to work on it, and when I'm launching it, to be able to launch it properly. And even though it means that technically I'm not making money from it now, okay, but this is a hishtadlut that I'm doing. I'm sitting in the water with a fishing net. I am doing something. I'm using the skills that Hashem gave me to do something. And I don't have to have a way right now that this can translate now into money for it to be the shadow. Am I right or am I wrong? So I've told this over to a bunch of people, and I've had very different opinions about whether my personal, to me, I don't care, I'm very happy to hear other people's words, and I'm very happy sharing what is going through, because it's such fun sharing about my relationship with Hashem. I've got, you know, people are always very proud to walk down this, like, you know, the streets holding hands with their wives. You know, I'm very, very proud. We all have our own relationship with Hashem, and I'm very proud of it. And I don't mind speaking out how I do things. Am I right or am I wrong? Depends who you ask. Because some people are on that level of bitachon, and some people are on that level of hishtadlut, and some people have that going on in their life, some people have that going on in their life. Me personally, and now, the test comes when I start getting stressed. Because the minute I start getting stressed means that everything that I've told myself that has made me calm, through not having a source of paranoia, all the things that made me calm through everything, through not having a source of paranoia, having my kids home, all the things that help me calm, as soon as I get stressed, it means I'm trying to be in control again. There is something in my story that I'm not left to Hashem, because at the moment now, I'm trying to leave as much Hashem as possible. Any time during the day, and it happens numerous times every day, I'll suddenly get stressed. When I get stressed, I now know if I'm stressed, it means I kicked Hashem out of that moment. In that moment, there was something. Someone said something to me, someone hooted at me, suddenly a car just suddenly pulled out, and I'm just like, okay, so in that moment, I forgot that Hashem was involved in everything. And this is the constant battle of our lives. We didn't get to finish the introduction, but this is the constant battle of our lives. And we should all have the Hatzlacha every day to be able to understand in each situation what the options are that we have, what the Hishtad looked and what the Bitachon options are, because that is really much harder than working out how much Hishtadot to do, is understanding your relationship with Bitachon and Hishtadot. I think that's the
mixture.
Yeah.